This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you, Sabrina, for the news. It is 12:05 on this Tuesday, the 9th of July, 2019. My name is Rich Bradbury. Today I'm in the studio with...
Frida Liu.
Arvind Yabaraj.
As usual, we'll be with you all the way through until 1 o'clock this afternoon. Our producer of the day, of course, is Christine Wong. She'll be fading the faders and pushing the buttons. Today we are talking trash, ladies and gentlemen. For real.
Don't we always?
We always do, yes. But today in particular, we are going to be focusing on trash and trash takeaways. So there's a couple of stories that we want to highlight. The first is how Shanghai, in just a couple of weeks ago, announced that all of their trash now has to be sorted into four categories. If you do not sort your trash into four separate categories, you could be fined. And of course, your social credit score could be deducted. Mm-hmm. Also, how over in South Korea, 95% of their food waste is recycled.
Wow.
Something we'll be touching on a little bit later on as well. Anything over that is anything that you throw away that is over your particular weight limit, you will be charged for. Mm. And that is why we decided to ask you this question today is, would you be comfortable paying extra to get your trash removed?
No.
Exactly. That's the first response I've had so far. And I expect there's going to be a lot of no's, but I think this is something that, you know, as a city, we need to talk about. In fact, as a country, I think we need to talk about, right?
It's like relationships.
Especially as some people are saying that the plastic straw ban is not working. Right. Let us know. 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. Twitter or Instagram is at BFM Radio. That's the story we're running with. We're then going to be moving on to robots, essentially, for the latter half of the show. Robots that are making laksa in 45 seconds.
That's the fun one.
That's the fun one. Wrapping up with robots for the elderly. Yeah, not so much fun, but an important story.
Could be an important story nonetheless.
Yeah. So the first story that I picked then is this Shanghai thing. Shanghai's rubbish rules, new laws sends Chinese city into frenzy. Things often get heated, of course, when the local government brings in a new bin regime. But in Shanghai, strict new regulations have sent the city into a frenzy. So last Monday, it's now mandatory for individuals and companies in the massive city to sort and recycle their household rubbish. People who don't comply not only risk incurring heavy fines, but could potentially have their all-important social credit rating lowered, meaning they may lose out on certain economic or social privileges by not being, quote-unquote, model citizens. Mm. It's the most populous city in the world, 24 million residents, three times the size of London or New York. And according to some reports, at this point, only recycles 10% of their waste. It produces 9 million tons a year. Now, these waste products have to be sorted into four different types. Recyclable goods, such as bottles and cans. Harmful waste, like batteries and medicines. Kitchen waste, predominantly types of food. Other waste, such as bathroom products. If you've been to any of the smaller tiered cities in China, in fact, Beijing as well, you are not allowed to flush your toilet paper down the toilet. It has to go in a bin.
Yeah.
So a lot of that has to be recycled. The fines that they are looking at, by the way, individuals can be fined 200 yuan, which is around 120 ringgit. Companies can face fines up to 50,000 yuan, which is 30,000 ringgit, for not recycling their goods. A lot of companies, of course, are going frantic about this. Hotels in particular are panicking because they have a lot of the kind of toothpaste and toothbrushes and everything that comes in this plastic, and they don't know what to do with it. But on the flip side, there are some companies who are very smart and have started doing this takeaway in reverse. They charge a small fee to take individuals' waste and dispose of it themselves. Now, one of our tweets already asked what they will be doing with this waste, saying, you know, more importantly, what do the authorities do with the separated trash into different categories? If the authorities just dump the separated trash into one landfill, right, then the effort will be fruitless. That's from Lee. By 2020, China are hoping to have to be recycling up to 35% of their overall waste. Hopefully, they're not shipping it out to places that we know, but they will be dumping a lot of it. A lot of it is going into recycling. Speaking of which, this whole South Korean thing that I picked up from the World Economic Forum, where they you throw away your food waste and you have to weigh it before you throw it away. And if it's above a certain limit, you know, you have to pay a little bit extra. And you don't, that money then goes to the collection people who then come and collect your waste. The money is then put back into the society to help clean it all up. I think this is a great idea.
It is. I'm just wondering how much notice they were given.
In Shanghai?
Yeah.
They told them originally in 2017
okay.
that they were going to do this. The warning that they gave them, though, to switch over on Monday, a week ago on Monday, was pretty short.
Right.
They had to send out police officers. They had to make training videos. All kinds. This is China talking about. But as Arvin will frequently say, when China want to do something,
they will do it. So I would have thought that they had given a bit more warning. And I'm assuming that with the collection that they've got all these plants to help with the recycling already. I don't know, right? I don't know. But I know China in the sense that we say we'll do it, right?
Right.
Which I think is a great move, right? Yeah. Whether something, when we talk about it ourselves, right? I don't know where our trash goes to. Or I've heard that it doesn't go, you know, you can do all these things, but it really makes no difference at the end of the day.
The majority of the trash goes into landfills in the middle of nowhere here in Malaysia. And that's the truth of it. You know, there's no way around that. People will try and argue and say, you know, a lot of it is recycled. It goes into landfills, you know. And for the most part, we don't see it, and we don't even know where it is because we are happy in our little city bubble.
Yes,
you know,
out of sight, out of mind.
Out of sight, out of mind. Yeah,
yeah. And I think we've been trying to do this for a few years now. I've got the brochures, the pamphlets at home. You know, people saying that explaining what you have to do with your trash, and you know how you have to sort them out. Like, you know, glasses in a different bin, and plastics in a different bin, and then your wet waste is in a different bin. But I don't think it was implemented well. I don't see them separating anything anymore. There's one truck that comes around like every couple of times a week.
Yeah.
And then they just dump everything at the back of the truck.
Correct.
So no one's sorting them out. No one's doing anything with the different kinds of trash. I would love for something like this to happen here because... Yeah. At the moment, I have no idea where to put glass, like empty glass bottles. There's nowhere that takes them. I know glass is difficult to recycle, so you have no idea where to give glass for recycling. People who used to do recycling for glass before don't do them anymore.
Really?
Yeah, they don't. There used to be a few containers, I think, here in like Mutiara Damansara and stuff. Those have been taken away. And other people who used to recycle glass don't take glass anymore. So where do you give your glass bottles? You can't just chuck them in a bin.
Right.
So something like this, something that is implemented well, and they are telling you that you have to sort it, otherwise you will be fine. And if everybody starts doing it, then at least we will have like a clear indicator of where do you throw your batteries, where do you throw your empty deodorant cans, you know, where do you throw your glass, so that one, it doesn't harm other people or the environment, and two, so that you stop hoarding it in your own house.
Okay, I can give you an example from the UK. In my hometown, we have the wheelie bins that you have outside the house now. In the UK, we have three of those. Plus, we have another crate. Mm. So the wheelie bins are colored green, black, and blue. Black is for everyday household waste. Blue is for recyclable waste, but not glass. So everything else but glass. So your plastics goes in that one.
Yep.
And then the green one is for organic, normally garden waste. So stuff like you've cut your trees down or you've mown your grass, that kind of goes into that. And the tray is for glass. So that's your recycling tray for glass. Now, how they do it in the UK is that on a specified day of the week, every other week, so Monday, it will be recyclable stuff. And then the following Tuesday or the following Monday, it will be organic waste. And so your bin doesn't get as full as you think it might do because you're not throwing everything into the same bin.
Yeah.
But you are right, Arv, in that the trucks that come around now, they do not separate anything.
No, they don't.
Even if you are separating it at source for your condo and you're putting it in separate bins there, when they come to collect it as a whole, it's all going in the same place.
Yeah.
Right. And other than South Korea, I'm sure there are other countries that do a good job as well.
Japan.
I'm just wondering what the best practices are. You know, can't we just model them?
There is a city in Japan that recycles 90-something percent of all of their goods. It's just one city, though. And they actually have, like... it's a model city where you can go and visit and see how they do it. And they're trying to roll out that idea. I mean, it's a bit extreme for a lot of people. But it's worth watching the video and seeing just how well they do this. I mean, even little things like your old TVs, they're breaking it down into individual components and they're selling off those components or they're recycling those components. All stuff that can be done, but it's time-consuming, you know, and I think that's a lot of the problems. Here, we're just so happy just to throw it away and be done with it. And like you say, Frida, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, it has to happen like from, you know, it has to happen like top-down. So it has to, there has to be like a governing body. People have to make sure that the whoever's in charge of doing it has to do it. Here, we have like organizations and individuals who do that sort of thing. Like they will collect your old electronic goods, like your old laptops and stuff, and then they will recycle them. They will turn them into like dust and then use them for to build other things. But they're so small and they work so on such an individual level that they operate in silos.
Right.
You don't know they exist. They don't know you exist. So they don't know where to source for the stuff that they need, and you don't know where to source for them when you need them. So I think that's the biggest problem. Something like this, like in China, it happens on such a large scale that everybody has to follow it or else there are consequences.
And that's what leads us to this thing. You know, do we have to employ some of those consequences here in Malaysia to make us follow the rules?
Yes.
Because the problem with rules here in Malaysia is that the enforcement is not there.
Mm.
Let us know, 018-789-8899, the WhatsApp number, Twitter or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. We'll take a short break with the Ravenettes with Love in a Trash Can. When we come back, of course, more discussion on this topic. Would you be comfortable paying extra to get your trash removed? Let us know. BFM 89.9.
Bluff-free medium, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Frida Liu,
Arvind Ibaraj.
Through until 1 o'clock this afternoon, we're talking about a couple of things. First of all, how Shanghai have brought in a new law, sending the city into a frenzy. How they have to separate their waste into four separate categories. We then touched on how South Korea recycle 95% of all of their food waste. Our question for today was: would you feel comfortable paying extra to get your trash removed? We've had some tweets, we've had some WhatsApps. Let's go to the tweets first, Arv.
Yeah, so this comes from Mary Brown, who says yes, she would. And then Olivia, a very familiar Olivia, says yes, Malaysians in general need to be educated to properly sort their trash. In Japan, you pay to have your trash taken away, and there are different trash day collection for different types of trash, and you must comply. It's doable, just need enforcement and education.
Which leads us nicely onto our WhatsApp right here.
Right, from Firuz Nazir, who says Japan, bottom up, China, top down, Malaysia need to be both directions. Look at the smoking bans. Even educated Malaysians are unethical and resist to comply. It's mindset first.
Indeed.
And of course, Maggie Best, thank you. She said, don't mind paying reasonable rates. Prefer some authorized personnel who can standardize the segregation of the waste, because there have been grey areas like soggy takeaway food, cardboard containers, should go to paper or what. Also, I don't really want to have to weigh the excess limit garbage.
Like we were saying earlier. Over on Insta Story, Syed Mohammed has said nope. DC Darren has said more value added services to convince me, replace my trash bags and sort out recyclables, etc. And another one just saying no. Some people not happy about this.
Yeah, we've got no more comments here. There's here from Kathy. She says, while I was in Bangalore, India for a month this year, I noticed some simple yet easily enforceable actions. Similar to the UK system mentioned, the trucks pick up different categories of trash on different days of the week. Also, each community or complex pool money to purchase your own composting machine.
Good idea. Now, obviously, we're not experts on dividing up trash or anything like that. So what we did is we managed to get hold of Geeta P. Kumaran. She is the Vice President of the Environmental Management and Research Association of Malaysia, ENSERCH. We asked a very simple question, or we thought it was a very simple question. Would it be viable and legally possible to implement a fine system for waste separation here in Malaysia? This is what
Based
she said.
The act that is prevailing at the moment in Malaysia, which is the Act 672, the Solid Waste and Public Cleansing Management Act 2007, under Section 10, actually the minister is allowed to gazette recycling efforts or source separation efforts in allowing us to manage our waste in a more sustainable manner. So the question would be, can we afford not to do it? So source separation is now being critical, because we really are not able to manage our disposal sites anymore. We are generating much too much of waste.
Now, Geeta, what do you think the public reaction would be to a fine system like this?
many instances when we talk to the public, they obviously do not want to pay. They don't want to be responsible because they're already paying assessment. They feel everything should be covered under the assessment that you're paying to the local authority. It's the responsibility of the local authority to collect and to manage the waste in a safe, disposed manner. But what we are finding now is cost is escalating. Our landfills are actually very far away from urban areas, so transportation cost is actually very prohibitive. The local authorities are spending a lot of our money actually in public cleansing and also managing waste rather than other critical kind of services. We need to do something because we are generating a very high amount of waste. We waste a lot of food particularly. Our single-use plastic usage is also very, very high. So as a society, I think Malaysia can be considered, quote-unquote, a wasting society. I'm not sure that we can have any other way because in terms of awareness, persuasion, telling you that it's your responsibility to look after the environment, all these messages have been age-old, doesn't seem to be penetrating. So maybe the way to go would be to force this. We find that generally, even in the Klang Valley, in urban areas, it's just not happening.
Having the fine system in terms of legislation seems almost inevitable then. But what about enforcement, especially for those living in apartments or condos where there's a unified trash deposit point?
Where strata titles, condo living, high-rise living is concerned, commingled waste is actually the way it is at the moment. Unless the condo itself is retrofitted to have separate streams when it comes to recycled material to be put into different bins from the rubbish chute itself at every floor. Apart from that, most buildings are not retrofitted to actually allow for it. So it's commingled waste all the way.
All right, final question. How can businesses of all kinds contribute to solving the issue of waste management and source separation?
It's actually a combination of physical and psychological kind of an approach that needs to be undertaken. This act that we have is actually very, very comprehensive, and it's been around for about 12 years. I would say the last 12 years, it's just been very passive. It's something aggressive that we've got to approach, and maybe with the new direction in reducing waste at source, because we are hearing steps where commercial buildings might need to digest their food waste, the organic waste at source. So if you're producing less, you're collecting less, then disposal will be much easier to manage, will be less expensive, and generally we would be having a cleaner environment. If employees, apart from doing source separation at the factory itself, carry this habit over to their homes and they educate their children, so basically it becomes a spill down kind of effect, because at the moment it's actually trendy to be green. So if you can make it a cool thing, which means teenagers say that, oh, I'm separating waste, I'm not using single-use plastic anymore, I'm actually a cool kid. If they can actually bring it to that kind of a level where people think, oh, it's actually cool to be green rather than not, then we are bringing up a generation that's going to save us when it comes to good practices with rubbish disposal and separation at waste.
Thanks, Geeta. Now, what do we think about that?
It's kind of sad, actually, to know that we've had, like, you know, acts and rules and regulations and stuff
years.
For 12 years.
Yeah.
And then we're still struggling
unbeknownst.
With... Unbeknownst. Yeah, and we're still struggling to separate, like, trash. I mean, it's supposed to, and based on what she said, it's obvious that it's a mindset thing. It's a culture thing of how we want to deal with, you know, separating the trash that we have at home. Obviously, most of us don't care. We're just like, you know, rubbish is rubbish is rubbish. We just want to put in a bin, and then what happens to it after that is like, you know, you can't be bothered to even think about what goes on with your trash, you know, which has you know, like, severe consequences, which is why countries like China are, like, stepping up and doing all these things.
Yeah. I mean, I think what she said towards the end about, you know, it's cool to be green now. Mm. It's definitely a movement happening. We've seen this, you know, worldwide, you know, the plastic straws in the ocean, the single-use straws, the plastic bottles. It's definitely a thing that's kind of trending right now. Do you think, though, that kids nowadays pay attention to this kind of stuff, or do they need to have, you know, a role model to look up to, or somebody who kind of says to them, look, you need to be paying attention to this? Mm. Do they need people to actually physically take them to landfills and show them that kind of stuff and show them what kind of, will it make a difference?
No, I think you leave them to do their thing. I think the new generation is more aware of what happens with the trash. I think especially with social media, they are more aware of pollution and how they need to segregate their trash, what happens if they don't. So instead of like interfering and becoming obstacles to their ideas, I feel you just let them do their thing and they'll figure it out.
I don't know. I wonder if this is talked about in schools enough.
Mm. I clearly it's not.
Right.
I mean, maybe it is now for this generation. Yeah. But I think a lot of the problems that we're seeing
would have been just
a few years ago, Gita was saying. You know, it's been around for 12 years. Mm. Why hasn't this been enforced? Why hasn't this been pushed through? And why don't more kids know about it? And why are we still seeing trash? You know, I mean, we can walk from here just like 50 yards down the road, and how many pieces of trash will you see? Mm. You know, and there's nobody around to pick it up apart from the cleaners who come in the morning. They do their hard work, but by the time they're done, it's there again. Anyway, time for us to wrap up, ladies and gents. If you'd like to get in touch regarding this topic of discussion, you know, would you feel comfortable in paying a little bit extra to have your trash taken away? Would you feel comfortable with having to pay a fine if you're not separating it properly? Is that the only way to deal with this problem? 018-789-8899 is the number on WhatsApp, Twitter or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. More music up next, REM. It's the end of the world as we know it.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.